Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Very welcome back to Bandwagons, bonus episodes, wherever you're listening, Patreon, Apple Podcasts, hope you're well. Movie Club is back in session. We've had bums in seats for the cinematic event of, when did this movie come out?
1999, I think, was it?
No, because I think it was, it was 1999, but it was actually the first movie to go number one in the new millennium. Or to be number one in the new millennium.
It must have come out at Christmas or something, did it?
That's what I was getting confused. Yeah, December 1999. Did you see it in cinema? We are talking about Stuart Little. I don't know if you've seen that from the title, but we are talking about Stuart Little.
Stuart Little is one of the ones I remember from my childhood as like the VHS that we just, like, we went through a phase of watching over and over. I think maybe my brother loved it or something. We definitely had it and we watched it a lot at home. And I remember being really excited to see the second one. And I remember the ads and stuff for the second one when it was coming to cinemas. Did it go to cinemas? I'm sure it did.
Second one went to cinemas. The third one didn't. Yeah. I have such specific memories of the little yellow bird that he was hanging around with that
hat.
He presumably ends up shagging or something. I don't know. But I don't remember a single thing about that movie. But again, yeah. Same as you. We had this on DVD or VHS or something rented. And I remembered it very clearly up until a certain point. This is me. Well, sure, was it not when we were trying to, because we were trying to get a bit of content done before Australia, and I had sent a voice note to you kind of when we had just started back recording, in hysterically laughing, just thinking about the entire concept of Stuart Little, and Breed was like, yeah. I think now's the time, and I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, and I think, like, I knew it was a bit of a batshit concept, but when we actually watched it, it makes no sense. It makes no sense whatsoever. Like, less than I even anticipated.
But you know what? I kind of appreciated that about it. I kind of appreciate that it, like, leans into it in a huge way. Like, nobody's ever letting up on the fact that it's like you've adopted a rodent, and they're like, and Gina Davis is like,
he's my son.
I don't get it. Like, why? He's my son. He's my son. He's my son.
There's oh my God, so many plot holes. So many plot holes.
Okay, well then talk to me then. What are the plot holes?
Let me bring up my notes, because this actually, like, here the first
one. She's looking at her fool's cap, I can see on the camera.
Nora watched it with me, and I was like, we're going to watch a movie about a mouse. And she was like, yes, mouse, 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 mouse. So she loved it. And then, like, the first 20 minutes, I was like, none of this makes sense in any concept. So they're just like, I wrote down, can you adopt a child the same way as adopting a puppy, where they like put you into a room and go, okay, pick one?
Yeah, I will say it does massively simplify what I would imagine is actually a much more complicated process. The adoption process. I highly doubt it. Someone just turns up, you pick a child, and they're like, fine. Especially if you have another child at home, you know?
Yeah. And then there was just like, it was a room full of children and then a mouse in clothes as well.
Yeah. Do you know what I found suspicious? Where were they getting all those tiny books from? You know, where were they getting a fucking tiny edition of Little Women?
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's not like he was wearing like the dolls, Barbie and Ken's clothes, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Like,
what doll is actually reading books?
You can't read a Barbie and
books.
Ken book. Like, yeah.
Yeah. They're not reading books. It's fundamentally, there's no publishing place that is like, we need to print teeny tiny books for the Barbies to read and have it be fully fleshed out on paper, you know? Yeah, I just found that, I found that very suspicious.
The whole thing is suspicious. Maybe he's a psychopath. How did a mouse end up in the orphanage? Why are they not alarmed when he walks up and starts talking to them? So like that would suggest that this is normal, that there are mice like in civilization that run around with kids and they're just like one of them. But we just never ever see it again for the rest of the film. Like none of the other animals
about the
can
other
speak
mice?
To the humans. None of the cats can speak to the humans, only mice. The cats can't, the birds can't. I don't know. Like it just makes no sense.
Yeah.
And I'm actually really wound up about it now, to be honest.
Do you know what I had written down with regards to this adoption scene and like the initial starting of the movie? I actually wrote down, did Stuart Little emotionally manipulate the parents? And I think yes. The more I read that and the more I think back to that scene.
He's carrying around fake books. He's psycho.
Well,
he's a nut.
When I've been here the longest. All right, fucking whinge bag. Let them decide for themselves.
Yeah. He was like, oh, this is how it's going to go. You're going to pick one of them. You're going to be very happy. It's like...
Yeah, it's very like, oh, you know when boys are like, oh, you'd never be interested in someone like me.
Pick
girls
me,
always go for the hot job. Not, yeah, that's too little, but as a fucking child mouse loser, like, no wonder you're there the longest because you're a fucking moany hole.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's a mouse in a room full of humans. It makes no sense. And then I wrote, great potential for this to be a musical. And then I wrote, but that's just Annie. And then, like, the more the plot went on, it was just, the whole plot is just Annie, but with a mouse as Annie.
No, it isn't just Annie, because Annie, there's a lot of...
The fake parents come back?
No, but there's commentary on, like, class there as well, I think, which we don't get with Stuart Little. Class doesn't come into Stuart Little as much as it does into Annie.
Okay, but generally, from my perspective, the plot of Annie is that she gets adopted, she's not really, like... welcome, doesn't feel like comfortable straight away, and then like finally settles in and gets really comfortable with the adoptive family, and then these like fake parents show up and be like, we're your parents, but they have like real gangster vibes and they take her away, and it's this whole thing, and they're in cahoots with someone else, and it's all like a big thing. It's the exact same as Stuart Little on that front.
Okay, interesting.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.